NBA Straya. Hey, gang, that's right, it's NBA Straya. It is Thursday, November 7. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, I guess, for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that walking around green, that booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's what we do, and we've done it. Can you believe this? It's our 350th episode. Woo! Jesus. So I'm going to crack a beer. There we go. And today's show is going to be basically fucking improv Thursdays. Because instead of notes, I'm doing tins. Fuck it. And as per usual with our big anniversary shows, we have an awesome special guest today. He puts the fun in fundamentally sound layups. It's none other than Aussie Boomer and NBL champion, my new best mate. It's bloody Nick Kay. It is awesome. That's right. Nick Kay joins the show. It's unreal. It's a great chat. I apologize profusely for ever doubting him. And we'll get to that after we do a quick run through of today's games with the game wraps, which will basically be me trying to wrap up every game in less than a minute. Because fuck it. No notes, had the kid all day. Let's do this fucking thing. All right, usual dumbassery. That's on an iPhone, mate. No mate, spud of the night, pants of the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. We've got Yeah Nah, we've got the unpopular opinion, Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take, as well as a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow and a brand new Diary of Steven Adams. Awesome. It's going to be a great show. 350 episodes. Can you bloody well believe it? I can't. But anyway, this is NBA Show episode 350. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah, you better. Or you better watch out for the attack of Royce O'Neal if you're Ben Simmons' shoulder, eh? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to start today's whip around, the daily whip around, the way we start every show here at NBA Straya. All 350 episodes have probably had at least something like that. Anyway, I've got a tin. No notes Thursday. This is going to be fun. Ben Simmons got hurt. I nearly threw my remote through the telly. Not great. But anyway, it's been called an AC sprain of the joint in his right shoulder. I guess the good news is, what's it going to do? Affect his jump shot? Now I've just made myself sad. It was pretty unobtrusive, right? He just sort of copped the knock in a bad spot and it got swung slash hit. Kind of in bad ways all at the same time. So, bit shit after 10 minutes of that game against Utah today. Big Simo versus Jingles, the showdown. It was gone. So, Big Simo is going to be reevaluated before the Sixers game versus Denver our Saturday. So, Friday night America. And he's hoping everything comes up clean and he's all good to go because, look, everything's better with more Big Simo. Also, sticking with a bit of Australian news, you may have noticed that King Dally of Maribara and Canada, first of his name, stopper of curry, decker of beals, gatherer of loose balls, smasher of tins, missed a couple of games over the weekend, and we didn't have a Dally pop culture review on Monday's show because he was off for personal reasons. And we knew his wife Anna was heavily pregnant. And, you know, we're nothing if not respectful here on NBA Australia. But look, we just wanted to make sure everything was A-OK. And it was, because the GOAT has a kid. A baby GOAT. Yes, that's right. The starting point guard for your 2036 Aussie Boomers. Anders Dellavedova. Unreal. That'll pop up again later, but it's amazing. So congrats to Dally and Anna. That's unreal, isn't it? Here's to you. Cheers. There we go. 350 episodes. Dally's got a kid. What a fucking day. And the final bit of news. Kawhi sat out today's game against the Bucks and everyone got their fucking knickers in a twist. Kawhi's not playing. But it was a bit of a shame, I guess, if you've gone all the way from Australia. Like, Mitch. Mitch from Australia, who popped up on the Clippers broadcast wearing his Kawhi jersey. And Kawhi wasn't fucking playing. Joke's on you, I guess, Mitch. Anyway, yeah, so that's a bit shit. But look. I don't know. We'll talk about this in the Nas and stuff because I've just scribbled down a couple of like questions for it. But whatever. I don't think it's that a big of a deal, is it? All right, let's do the game wraps for today, shall we? As mentioned, no notes. We're going to fly through this. We've got 9 games. We're going to try to do it in less than 10 minutes. Can we do it? Let's go. All right, New York went into Detroit and got the shit kicked out of 122-102 because New York fucking suck. They let Detroit shoot 55% because they suck. Julius Randle had 20, Mook Morris 18, RJ Barrett 15 points on 4 of 12 shooting. 8 assists, though. Not bad. And Frankie Smokes had 11 points, 5 of 7 shooting. Play the man, Fizz. Come on. Kevo Knox had 14 points, but was in minus 13. Legendary. Tony Snell for Detroit couldn't fucking miss. Literally, he didn't. Our Dark Lord, Tony Snell, 24 points, a 9 of 9 shooting, 6 of 6 from downtown. Andre Drummond couldn't even get 20 rebounds. What a loser. 27 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Langston Galloway, 13. Luke Kennard, the Duckman, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Went 4 of 12 from the floor. 1 of 7 from 3. Doesn't matter. New York sucked. They're 1 and 7. Pistons, 4 and 5. The Wizards went into Indiana. Both teams on back-to-backs, and Indy kicked the fucking shit out of them, which is pretty weird. Washington just turned back into Washington, which was annoying. And Indy with a big bounce-back win after a loss to Charlotte the day before. Indy, 121-106 winners. Washington shot 38%, had 16 turnovers. Gross. Brad Beal had 35-5. 12 of 29 shooting, though. Kobe, 1 of 12 from downtown for Brad Beal. Jesus. Thomas, not Kobe Bryant, had a 20-11. Isaiah Thomas, that little guy, had 10 points on 10 shots. And CJ Miles had himself a bit of a revenge game, even though they lost. Had 15 against his old squad. TJ Warren had 21 TJ Warren points for Indy. 12 points, 13 assists for El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon on 3 of 14 shooting, though. Gross. 18 for Azza Holiday and the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, give us just the lamb today, Domantas. A little bit of extra tomato as well. Yeah, go easy on the lettuce. Double the garlic sauce. Yeah, cheers, mate. 13 points, 17 rebounds for the Souvlaki King. And Dougie McBuckets had 19 off the bench as well. Still, if you didn't watch any of this game, I wouldn't blame it because they both fucking suck. Wizards 2-5, Pacers 4-4. Golden State at Houston. This was a pretty funny game. It was close until James Harden in the second quarter went, wait, this is a fucking G League team, and absolutely killed him. Ended up a bit of a blowout. You know, you get that on the big jobs, though, sometimes, don't you? I mean, you felt bad for Golden State at different points. But at the same time, then you turn around and go, fuck Golden State with their $1.4 billion new fucking arena. Rockets win at 129-112. Harden. I mean, Alec Burks had 28 points for the Warriors. The rest of Eric Pascal, 19 points again. Pascal, he was great. 6 of 15 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3. 15-11 for little big dog Glenn Robinson the third. And Jordan Poole, 2 of 11 shooting. Jesus, Jordan, mate. Your hair's great. Your shot's shit. Harden had 24 in the first half, finished with 36 points, 13 assists. Rusty Westbrook had 18, 8, and 6. Clint Capella had 6 blocks. It's a block party. Block party. 19 points and 16 rebounds as well. And Daniel House has been good. Basically, Eric Gordon impersonator when Eric Gordon's out. And Eric Gordon was out with a sore hammy. So, Daniel House, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Warriors, 2-6. Rockets, 5-3. Chicago went into Atlanta and won. Oh, fucking Chicago. I hate them so much. 113-93. Atlanta just got smoked out of the gate straight away. It was fucking over. Big first and third quarters for Chicago. And it was tough to watch this. A lot of red and orange, and I'm like, nah, can't, nah, don't like this. Atlanta had just a gajillion turnovers. 24, shot 40% as a team, 6 of 30 from deep. That's not great. Trey went 3 of 12. Yeah, that'll do it. 0 of 8 from downtown. Oh, 9 points, 4 turnovers. Jabari Parker had a bit of a revenge game. 18 of 5 with 4 turnovers. The classic Jabari. Reddish and Hunter stank. Kevin Huerta had 14 in his 24 minutes, and Member Berries had 9 points and 4 assists. But for Chicago, it was a Satoransky show. 27 points for Sato. 8 assists, 10 of 13 from the field. He was awesome. 4 of 5 from downtown. Zachy Cakes Levine had a sick 360 dunk, but fucking wasn't that great otherwise. 10 points, 4 of 10 shooting. Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, had 17, 5 and 4. Finally came good, but it's against Atlanta. I mean, really, come on, man. And Kobe White had 10 points, 3 of 13 shooting for him. Atlanta just looked completely discombobulated on a back-to-back. So was Chicago, though, but Atlanta, I don't know. Chicago fucking stink. I hate them. It sucks. And, of course, they won this by 20. So, yeah, Hawks are 3 and 4, Bulls 3 and 6. Sacramento went into Toronto. A lot of toes there. This was weird. Raps jumped it from the start like they were Muldoon in the original Jurassic Park, 36-23. And Sacramento sort of just stuck around. Just stuck around. And the last quarter of this was really fun. Harry Barnes had 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Not bad. Good size. 21 for Buddy Hield. 5 of 7 from deep. He is fucking smoking it lately. De'Aaron Fox had a 17, 7, and 9 assist day. That was awesome. 22 for Bogdan Bogdanovic off the bench as well. 6 of 11 from 3. Good to see him come alive lately. The rest of Sacramento are all just a little bit off, though. Belly Belitza, 2 of 7. Ariza and his veteran fucking presence went 1 of 4 for 5 points. Corey Joseph missed 2 threes against his old team. The only threes he took. And Dwayne, dead man, went 2 of 6 as well. Just missing Marvy Bags a bit here and there, Sacramento. Toronto, for their part, look, Pascal Siakam smoked it. 23, 13, and 5. He was awesome. The OG, Ananobi, 18, 6, and 5. He was good too. Big booty, Kyle Lowry, 5 of 7 from deep for his 24 points and 6 assists. And Serge Ibaka had 21 and 6 off the bench and headbutted the fuck out of Stanchion after a sick dunk. That was cool. Kangs, 2 and 6. Raps, 5 and 2. Minnesota got the shit kicked out of him by Memphis, which is just fucking embarrassing. Cat came back, but he's a big pussy, so fuck him. Memphis, 137, 121, Minnesota. The old Kevin Love for OJ Mayo matchup. Love this. For Minnesota, Wiggo had 30 points and was a minus 11. Classic Andrew Wiggins. Cat had 25, 13, and 2 blocks. 3 of 11 from deep, though. 8 of 19 shooting. Hey, Cat, if you're not feeling it, maybe 11 threes isn't a great idea, you fucking idiot. Jarrett Culver was good. We'll talk about him in a bit. Covington, 13. Okogie, Trevion Graham, Layman. I mean, it's just a lot of shit names on this Minnesota roster, if you ask me. Memphis shot 56%. Hey, Minnesota, play some fucking D, you dickheads. Jesus, Ja Morant was awesome. 26 points. Dylan Brooks was even better. 5 of 7 from 3. 31 points, unreal. Crowder at 18. My name is Jonas Valanciunas. He had 10 and 14 with 4 blocks. Brandon Clark, 18 and 8. He's a good rookie. Wolves, 4 and 3. Grizz, 2 and 5. Orlando went into Dallas. And the Magic Men nearly pulled off a crazy, weird upset kind of down the stretch. They led for fucking heaps of the game. Dallas finally turned it around. Orlando, a bit of a fucking tussle there and back and forth. 107, 106, they win. 2 offensive fouls on Azza Gordon in the last 30 seconds lost the game for the Magic. It was hilarious. Air Gordon was having a good game too. I guess 23 points, 10 of 7 shooting. 10 of 17 shooting? Yeah, there you go. 1 of 5 from 3, 4 turnovers. So Johnny Isaac had himself a game. 13 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 6 blocks, plus 15. He was awesome. And all Orlando Magic fans love having a fucking silk. Oh, pay attention to Johnny Isaac. Yeah, motherfucker. He had one good game just here. 13, 10, 5, 4, and 6. That came after shooting like fucking 6 for a bajillion over the last 3 games. Settle down. Vooch had 19, 11, and 7. Fultz had 11 on 10 shots. Dallas had 7 players in double figures and were just really good. Luka Doncic, of course, led the way. He was unreal. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 turnovers. Gold. 1 of 7 from downtown, but the one he hit was fucking amazing. It was Steph Curry shit. Kristaps Porzingis was held to 4 of 14 shooting, going up against Johnny Isaac and co. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 14 for Maxi Kleber, 13 for Tim Hardaway Jr. Boban got out there and did some damage. He didn't do much. Maxi Kleber had 14, whatever. Mavericks sneak through, get a big win. They needed this one too, just to keep everything rolling. And they are now 5-2. Orlando dropped to 2-6 and fucking stink. Philly went into Utah, as mentioned, nearly won this. Jazz win at 106-104. Fun ass game until Ben Simmons went out with his shoulder injury. Joel Embiid didn't score in the second half until hitting some free throws with 4 minutes left and then proceeded to basically score the only points that Philly scored down the stretch. Yeesh. He ended up with 27-16. And 2 blocks to go up against the old Rudy Gobert, Steph Tower. But still shot 5 of 16, you know. Tobias Harris was 4 of 11 for his 16 points. Al Horford. This is the old, I'm getting old, kids. 3 of 14. I can't carry his all the time. 3 of 14 for him. 7 points, 4 rebounds. Mike Scott had 5 points, 2 of 3 shooting. Raul Neto was really good. 11 points, 4 assists, 2 against his old team. And fucking Furkan Korkmaz couldn't get it really cranking today. 2 of 4 from downtown. There were his only points, though. And Josh Richo Richardson had a good one. 24, but again, down the stretch, just missed 1 or 2 shots. You're like, killing you. Utah for their point, like Donovan Mitchell, 24 points on 23 shots. 20 for Bojan Bogdanovic. A couple of big shots late, too. Rudy Gobert had 14 and 16. he was good. Mike Conley, 15 points on 15 shots. Yeesh. But Jingles had 16 too. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. Legendary. But there you go. Utah getting that was a big win. 5-3 they are. 5-2. Philly have lost two in a row. Fire Brett Brown. Scream all the Sixers fans, you fucking mental cases. Finally, Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Win in LA against the Clippers. 129-124. Fun game too. This was great without Kawhi. Yeah. Didn't really matter. It was still fun. Giannis was absolutely bananas. But anyway, for the Clippers, look, 34 for Montrez to go with 13 rebounds and 5 assists, 20 and 10 for Pat Bev. That's insane. 34 points, 11 assists for Lou Williams. And then not much really else. Trez was in the starting lineup, which was pretty interesting. So Doc has kind of finally fucking pulled the plug on Nivica Zubac. Zubac played 9 minutes, went 3-4, had 8 points, 4 rebounds. I don't know what the fuck else he can do, you know? Anyway, Landry Shamwow hit some threes late to really get the Clippers back in this and give them a real fucking fighting chance, but couldn't quite get over the hump. Giannis just went a bit fucking spare late, and it was awesome. He had 38, 16, and 9. He's going to pop up in a second. 20 and 6 for Bledsoe, putting on a Bled show. Brook Lopez. And Chris Middleton didn't shoot great. 4 of 12 and 3 of 13, respectively, going a combined 0 of 8 from downtown. Didn't really matter, though. George Hill was amazing. 24 points, 9 of 14 for him. And Kyle Korver got going, too. 4 of 7 from deep for 14 points. Milwaukee, when they look like that, when they hit 18 of 49 threes, they look pretty bloody good and pretty tough to beat. So, good job, Milwaukee. They're now 6-2. The Clips dropped to 5-3. Oh, friggin' right. Need a drink? Let's get into the NBA Australia Brew Performance of the Night, shall we?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Oh, do you reckon we did that in about 10 minutes? That came close. Come on, man. Got to save some time for Nick Kay, so let's do it. NBA Australia Brew Performance of the Night. Dude, Giannis is just something fucking else sometimes, isn't he? 10 of 21. Hit 4 threes. He was unfucking believable from downtown today. 4 of 7, 14 of 18 from the free throw line, 16 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was absolutely unstoppable. The craziest part is with 38, 16, and 9, he is the first player apparently since the NBA merger, the old ABA-NBA, to have 3 straight 30, 15, and 5 games. And he's the first player in NBA history to have 200-plus points, 100-plus rebounds, and 50-plus assists in their first 8 games of a season. Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's a fucking knife the size of Greece, you big-dicked bastard. Right, what about Old Mate No Mate?
Old Mate No Mate.
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 Who's got no mates today? Oh, is it Air Gordon? Aaron Gordon, yes, mate. 2 offensive fouls in the last 30 seconds, you numbnuts. Lost the game for the Magic, man. The problem was they were super fucking blatant as well. And, like, I know refs aren't going to want to call offensive fouls in, like, the last 30 seconds of a tight game, but Aaron Gordon's basically like punching dudes in the fucking head. It's like, dude, come on. Aaron Gordon, like, this is, like, you know, fucking, you should be taking a giant leap right now. Instead, you're costing your team games. What the fuck? The last time you were good was in Uncle Drew, and even then, that's saying a lot because you were pretty not great then. Anyway, Old Mate No Mate, it's definitely Aaron Gordon. That's a fun one to go back to the locker room after that, right? So, yeah, hey guys, look, I'm really sorry. Yeah, fuck you, Aaron. Just blow it out your ass. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Look, this could just go to all of Atlanta, but Trae Young, 3 of 12. DeAndre Hunter, 1 of 7 for 4 points for him, minus 23. Cam Reddish, 1 of 8, 5 points, minus 20. And yeah, Trae Young missing every 3 that he took. 0 of 8, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 turnovers. Basically, all the Atlanta Young dudes fucking stunk apart from Kevin. What up? And he sucks anyway because he's got red hair. No offense to myself, but I can say that. I'm a ranger. Panting of the night. The Knicks. I mean, look. Come on, Knicks. What the? If there's ever a fucking, like, winnable game, you idiots, It's against a team that literally doesn't have a fucking point guard. Kung Fu Thon's out there kung fu kicking his way to 7 points and two rebounds, destroying the fucking Knicks, who have got 87 fucking power forwards to throw at him, and they still shit the bed. They shot 48.8%, the Knicks, and lost. That is just absolutely... They lost by 20 by giving up literally no more shot attempts than to basically the other team. They had 80 shot attempts to 79. They just let the fucking Pistons shoot 55% on those shots and 50% from three. Ugh, the Knicks. That's a panting and a fucking half. That's wandering down the middle of fucking Broadway and just going, hey, look at me. And Julius Randle, Marcus Morris, and Mitch Robinson, and Taj Gibson, and Kevo Knox, and fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world can have a fucking power forward party, you idiots. All right, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody as long as you don't want to actually get the merch that you paid for.
Steve-o.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Well, I would get my merch, but you stole it. Is that bankrupt season or ballin' season? Ballin' season or bankrupt season?
It's ballin' season!
Nah, it's bankrupt season. Anyway, better than Lonzo Ball for today. Not Rui Hachimura, Japanese Jordan, 21 minutes, 0 of 5 versus Indy for 0 points and a minus 19. Gull. Look, Eric Paschal again. He's just crushing it for Golden State. 19 and 6 for him. He was awesome. But I want to give this to Jarrett Culver, the forgotten man of last year's draft. Started for the first time for the Wolves today. 15 points, 5 of 13 shooting. 5 rebounds, 7 assists, plus 4, second highest on the team. He looked really good. So for the bits that I saw him play, on your Jarrett Culver, that's awesome. And Ja Morant is just a fucking lunatic. 26 points today, 9 of 19 shooting, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Shredded mofos left, right, and center. He is a fucking problem. Love it. Unreal. Let's go to Yenars. Take a break. I'll keep drinking this beer. Do some Yenars. Then we might talk to Nick K. What do you reckon? Sound good? Nice one. All right. Right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Actually, we might do Nick K after I do the Australian player watch and all the other stuff, and then we'll sort of bump into him, and then we'll do a bit of stuff after that. What do you reckon? Yeah, sounds good. All right. Also, sorry about this being a bit late, but, you know, had the squid all day. He's sick. I'm sick. It's just fucking wild scenes, mate. Anyway, yeah, nah, we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Look, this is the big thing today. Rest. Number one, is rest 8 games into a season bullshit? Yeah, nah, yeah, obviously it is. But I think it was pretty smartly laid out by the NBA that Kawhi does fall underneath the idea of, like, not resting. Load management, just being precautionary with his rehab. And it's like, all right, that's fine. And apparently they're all like, yeah. The Clips and the NBA have been working sort of back and forth on this a lot. It's like, oh, did anyone tell ESPN? They've been flogging this Milwaukee Clippers matchup for ages, and they get shafted again of Kawhi just going, nah, fuck it. I don't feel like coming into work today. Chuck a sickie, mate. Unreal. Flip side of that, number two, is it fine for Kawhi to sit out for load management 8 games into a season? Yeah, nah, yeah, fuck yeah, it's fine. Look, boo fucking who, dude was injured as fuck last year, dragged his sorry ass through the Eastern Conference Finals, then into the finals, won a finals MVP, injured, carried his team on his back, dragging his fucking leg. So it's not like he's in fucking pristine condition, he's still coming back. So this is all just really kind of rehab. And they did also point out that he barely played any practice-y sort of stuff in the lead-up to the season. And, I mean, the last thing the fucking Clippers of all franchises want to do is overwork their prime star player again and watch them get hurt again, like it's happened so many fucking times. So they're playing it smart. I'm happy with that. Good on them. Number three, does it suck for people who went to the game? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, it does, but it's also one of those fucking unavoidable shit fucking things where you're like, ah, come on, man. No Paul George, no Kawhi. I bought this ticket. This would have been amazing. And yeah, that sucks. It does suck. But at the same time, last one, should the season be less games and longer then? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. I've been yelling about this for fucking ages. Everybody understands that that would be smarter. NBA just needs to go, right, what is the optimal idea number of games that we can play where we still make basically the same amount of money and then eventually just end up making more because that's what happens. Like, let's fucking do it. Eradicate all back-to-backs. Avoid this sort of stuff. See how we go. And bang, let's do the fucking thing. Shorten the season. Avoid this stuff. Either way. Oh, last one as well. Jimmy, are you sick of veterans and TV personalities and people who used to play go, oh, rest, we never used to rest. Yeah, and you motherfuckers had 11-year careers, you fucking idiots. Do you ever think why? Oh, playing 82 games was a mark of respect. It's like, yeah, and then you never played again? Fuck off. Jesus Christ, like Mark Jackson. If that guy played a fucking lick of defense in the like the second half of his career, it would have been the first time that had happened. So, oh, I played for loads of fucking teams. Like, I played for loads of years. Never took a day off. Fuck you, you didn't. Your team's barely played any, like, in terms of, like, defense and help defense throughout the 90s and shit, motherfuckers were doing fuck all. Let's just be fucking honest. So, settle down with this whole idea of, like, hey, we played all 82 and we're hard asses and today's players are soft. Fuck you. You all got hurt all the fucking time. The level of basketball sucked comparatively. If we're going to have to, like, rest some dudes, fine. I'm fine with that. All right, for the unpopular opinion of the day, this is a brutal one.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. I don't know. Are we, can like, really married to this idea of the troops needing even more thanks? There's a military ball tickling at every fucking sporting event in the US already, and then it's like, it's fucking November! You have to blow a troop! Fuck! It's like, settle down, mate. Just, yeah. They're doing a good job on them. Like, just go, cheers, as way to do your job. Stay safe. No need to have, like, fucking all of November be everybody has to get down on their knees and give the military a fucking rim job, you know? Like, settle down. Ugh. This is going to pop up again in tomorrow's show. Trust me. Yeah, anyway. Finally, let's go into Outback Steakhouse. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means. Fucking Bloomin' Onion Thursdays. That's right, no prick in Australia knows what the fuck one of these things are. I think it's deep fried. Fuck, I don't know. We just chuck those pricks on the barbie. And you got a lunatic XPM and you just fucking eat them raw. I don't know about this shit. Anyway, goes great with a flame grilled take. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... Kawhi Leonard was simply just ducking Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks in the exact same way he ducked the Warriors and LeBron and all the other contenders last year. Doesn't want to give any info away to the enemy. And that's pretty fucking smart, if you ask me. Only at Outback.
Nice one. All right, let's do the Australian Player Watch and Kiwi Corner, where in the world is, and then we'll get to Nick Kay, and then we'll come back from that with the game previews. Sound good? Good. Well, you know, you got no fucking choice. Deal with it. We're back in a second.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, might need another beer. This is great, though. Anyway, how good are tin shows? Love tin shows. Australian Player Watch, obviously Big Simo Ben Simmons, 2 points, two assists, one steal, one rebound after 10 minutes. Goes out hurt. Mentioned it earlier. Hopefully, he'll be fine. Yeah, you do worry about shoulders. Always worry about shoulders. But, I mean, as I said, what's it going to do? Affect his jumper? Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, did not play. Coach's decision. Best of luck with that, Jonah. Jingling Joe Ingles. Win over the Sixers. He was great off the bench. 29 minutes, 16 points. 6 of 11 for the jingling one. 2 of 5 from downtown. 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Missed a dagger 3 at the end that I fully expected him to make. But, you know, still good. Jingles, coming good. Nice one. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe himself, was still out, but looking very sharp in that suit that he had on the sideline, though, which is good. Still coming back from rehab. Apparently, he's very, very, very close. Let's go, Dante. King Delia of Maribara, first of his name, smasher of tins. He's now got a second of his name, legendary. Anders, on ya. Way to go, Deli. That's fucking awesome. I'm stoked. He's going to pop up again later. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills has an OKC game tomorrow. Kung Fu, thon, 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 thon. In the win over the Knicks, I mentioned it earlier. 3-3 from the floor in his 13 minutes. 1 of 1 from downtown. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 fouls. But still, not bad, mate. Not bad. Good job, Thon.
That's awesome. Yeah, sweet. And obviously, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff didn't dress for the Mavs game today. They had all their dudes back. JJ Barea actually came back and basically took Rowdy's roster spot, which fucking sucks. So, anyway. But still looking sharp on the sideline is Rowdy. Got a good mix there. All right, Kiwi Corner. Let's do that. Check in and see how the old Steven Adams is going. Here we go. Here he is. Oh, poor Steven Adams, bro, was actually out for two games with a bruised knee. Came back against Orlando yesterday. 11 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists and a block in 26 minutes, though, for the big Kiwi. So for the year, he's averaging 7 points, 11.6 rebounds. Pretty bad. I mean, pretty badass. Now that he doesn't have Rusty stealing them all. 1.8 assists and 0.8 blocks for the year. And weirdly enough, though, only shooting 31.3% from the floor, which is wild considering he's like led the league in basically field goal and been very close to leading the league in field goal percentage in the past. But that's because of he's only played 5 games so far and 2/3 of them, he struggled from the field. So there you go. Nice one. And today we're going to do a quick where in the world is just to give you a heads up because the college season finally fucking started and we've got an absolute shit ton of Aussies in the old G League and that's pretty bloody good, isn't it? Oh, I'm like, yeah, shit, yeah. Nice one. But we also have, so Josh Green actually played his first game, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals in Arizona's win over Northern Arizona, which is basically beating up on your shitty cousin. But good stuff. Obviously, Jack White went big in that Duke win. So Duke, fuck Duke. But still lots of good Aussie college types out there this year. So we'll keep you abreast of that throughout the season. And our G League guys, the G League kicks off this week. We've got Dang Adele with the Long Island Nets. Dang. Friend of the show, Isaac Humphries, is with the Orlando Magic, the Lakeland Magic G League team. And Matua McCur and Willie McDowell White are with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the Houston Rockets G League squadron. So that's going to be awesome. And on Thursdays, we'll try to keep you abreast of the G League dudes as well as some of the European dudes and some of the college guys. So there you go. Keep an eye out for that. All right, fuck it. Let's go to Nick K right now. I'm going to have a tin and we'll be back with the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, Game Day Twitter check-in, which is actually just going to turn into the deli made me so fucking happy today. I almost cried check-in. Yeah, and the game previews and stuff. But first, let's go to fucking Nick K. It's awesome. Enjoy right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, I promised it at the top of the show. That's right, it's our 350th episode. So as per usual, we have a very special guest joining us. And today, he's an NBL champion, he's a boomer, okay boomer, and he's a recent World Cup standout. He went to university in Denver, so he really knows he's snowboarding. There we go. His Perth Wildcats are sitting 6-2, no doubt spurred on by me, spurring them to a win in Melbourne a few weeks ago in my new Nick K jersey. It's my new best mate, it's bloody Nick K. Nick, what's going on?
Hey mate, not a whole lot, but I'm glad I can be here today.
Awesome. Yeah, you're on the 350th episode, which is, you know, look, plenty have come before you, but none will measure up to you, Nick, especially after our tortured history. And look, let's get this out of the road first up. The Boomers campaign, I need to apologize to you in person on the show. I've apologized on the show, but you weren't on the show, you know what I'm saying? So, Nick, I'm sorry I doubted you from the moment you were announced on the Boomers squad. And I was like, oh man, we're going to go with Nick K in for big minutes. I admit I fucked up every fundamentally sound layup you got, every rebound in traffic you snagged. I look like more of a fucking idiot. By the end of it, I bought a Nick K jersey, wore it to the Wildcats game last month against United, cheered you on like a mad dog, got a high five from you after the game. Nick, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doubting you. Are we cool?
Yeah, mate, of course we're cool. I guess that's part of sport. Obviously, no matter how you play or what happens, there's always going to be people that are supporting, have things to say and stuff. But I guess that's just extra motivation that just wanted to prove that I did deserve to be in that team and stuff. And I just tried to show that as the tournament went on. So, I mean, yeah, obviously that extra motivation is a great thing to have.
The idea of like actually sort of people looking at all the actually coming out of Boomers camp, like, did you hear the talk about Andre's selections and, like, did it ever sort of come up between everybody else in camp and everything, or did you just get on with the job?
No, it wasn't really talked about during camp or anything. I think, obviously, no matter how much you try and stay away from social media and whatnot, things come up and stuff and you see different things and, you know what people are saying and that, but at the end of the day, you just try to stay focused on what your job is and stuff. And, I mean, that's all I tried to do during the tournament. Myself and the other guys just tried to focus on what we could do. And there was a reason Andre picked the way he did. And we just tried to do our job to the best of the ability.
Yeah, I mean, well, it worked. I mean, you got through to, like, you know, the last couple of bits and bobs right there. And right off the bat then, like, how much do you hate Spain and France after the World Cup? Are you, like, just going to boycott ever going there again?
Mate, what a frustrating end to it. I mean, we worked so hard for that tournament, and then just the similarities between that and when you watch the end of that Rio game against Spain, just devastating. And you can feel that emotion in the locker room after the game. Guys like Paddy and that have been in that situation before and been so close to winning that medal, and to see it just slip away, I mean, heartbreaking. So, but the best thing is that it is only about 9 months before a chance for redemption added, and I know it's going to be right, going to be playing on people's minds that whole time. So just a good way to get focused and be ready to go when it comes to the Olympics next year.
For sure. I mean, after all that happened, did you actually know where the FIBA headquarters were? Did Bogut make you Google it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got back in the locker room and it was brought up pretty quick. I think Bogues knew that it had moved and he'd screwed up there. But, I mean, that's just, you know, Bogues, he plays with such emotion. And that's part of the reason why Australian basketball is so good, is because we play for our country and wear our hearts on our sleeves. So when something like that happens, it's tough to deal with, and a lot of guys show it in different ways.
Well, I mean, obviously heartbreaking sort of end to it, but all the way through that actual sort of World Cup, like, the experience itself must have been amazing. You're playing next to dudes like Paddy and Deli and even Jingles and Bogut, etc. Like, was the experience just kind of like this one where you sort of strap in, go, fuck, just do my job, learn some shit, this is going to be fucking crazy? Was that kind of how it went for you?
Absolutely. I mean, from day one of training where you're just trying to compete and do all the little things to playing against the best in the world, going up against like Rudy Gobert and stuff in the post. You just, I mean, each step felt like it was just getting better and better as it went on. And we were getting better as a group. So I was just loving the experience and trying to just enjoy the trip as it went on. But yeah, I feel like it was definitely a beneficial trip for myself personally. And hopefully can build on that and continue to get better because of it.
Like, what do you actually, like, do you actually sort of talk to other dudes throughout camp and then through the actual sort of team experience, like Bogut and the sort of other big dudes like Bangers and Co? Like, do you sort of talk about tips, tricks, stuff like that, how to approach specific opponents, how to go about things, you know, any post sort of tips, anything like that?
Yeah, you do. I think each game, especially when you're going into a certain game, you talk about different positions you want to be in, types of shots you're looking for, and how you're going to get those shots and stuff, and really where games are developing and stuff. It's the same thing on the court. So, yeah, just little things like where, like, guys like Bogut who read the game so well and that know where you're going to get open, and just talk you through it. If you need something or if you see something open, he's telling you that next possession, set your screen here, get to this spot, and you're going to get a layup. And you do exactly that, and there you are, getting 2 points. So just little things like that, that some of the guys that just read the game so well are able to pass on and help you out with your own game.
Did Jingles teach you anything about trash talking?
He does love a trash talk, doesn't he? But I've never been one to for it to pay off for me. Every time I talk a bit of trash, it ends up backfiring, so I keep my mouth pretty shut.
I love it. Did you sort of have any ideas coming through that World Cup of Bangers suddenly turning into the NBA's most improved player and possible MVP candidate? I mean, dropping bombs from the outside, laying wood left, right, and center, he's crushing it, and you're sitting there being, you know, being a teammate going, Jesus, hell's about to be unleashed on the NBA this year.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's really not that surprising. You see his work ethic in camp and not just in the gym where he's throwing around weight like nothing else, but his pregame ritual, his the way he goes through the same reps every day, and his pregame warm up. You leave him out on the court to do his own thing because he's in that right mindset, and you know he's doing that stuff right now in the NBA, and that's why he's been able to step up his game so much. So it's great that he's getting that recognition for the hard work he has been putting in.
So out of like all the boomers, I mean, did you, like, we had Creaky on the show, what, a couple of weeks ago, sort of talking about this and sort of who he sort of spoke most to and who was his sort of best mate on the team. And obviously he had Sobes, who was a teammate of his for a while, etc. Like, who did you sort of latch on to? Who did you talk to most? Who was your best mate on the boomers?
Best mate, probably someone like Cam Gooden. Spent a bit of time with him on the road and stuff. But, I mean, I was rooming with Creaky, so I spent a fair bit of time with him. And
yeah,
then,
he also talked a bit of shit about you as well, Nick. I didn't want to say anything, but, you know.
Yeah, of course he did. But that's Creaky for you. He's, I guess him and Ingles have the same trash-talking mindset. So, there's a good group of guys on the team. And, I mean, anytime we go get coffee or you want to do something, the boys are all there and ready to go hang out and stuff. So, it made for a really easy environment to be around, and I guess it always felt like you had a good group of guys there to do stuff with anytime you needed to.
Did it ever get brought up amongst you guys that there was a bunch of blokes from like small Aussie towns repping the national team? Like, it was pretty weird. Like, you had Mareeba, Maribara, Tamworth, Warrnambool, Horsham, Bunbury, a bunch of other places. It's pretty weird.
It is a bit weird, isn't it? Obviously, like, it wasn't brought up too much, but when we were going through and talking country and stuff and whatnot, where guys played for growing up, there was a lot of country boys in there. And, it's just kind of crazy how it all works out. But I guess that's possibly part of the reason for it, is how great the country is.
I dig it. So did you have anyone force you to eat anything bonkers over in China? There was a couple of moments where Creaky mentioned there was a couple of weird things that got brought up, but he stayed clear of it. Did you get forced to eat anything weird?
I didn't get forced to do anything weird. There were some weird stuff that was on some of the menus and that, but, I mean, when you're in tournament, you're playing every second day, you're trying to just stick with the safe options, really. So
it's
always a nerve-wracking thing because you get sick and suddenly you can be out for a couple of games. So I kept it very basic and, glad I did that because I stayed away from the sick bug, so...
Nice. Did you know how many Aussies you were helping get drunk during the World Cup with your with the fundamentally sound layups as well? Like, I don't have exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure like the vast majority of your points came from pretty fundamentally sound layups, and all of Australia was drinking when you hit another one. So did you have any idea that was going on?
No, I didn't know that was going on here. I had some family and stuff over in China, and they were part of the tour group.
Awesome.
And I knew that they were enjoying themselves after games and stuff. So I figured... our wins were contributing to their enjoyment levels. But, not the most athletic dude out there. So just trying to get – and with so many athletic guys going up against, just trying to get those layups off as quick as I could.
Is there a key to the fundamentally sound layup? Like, is there a specific point of the backboard that you're trying to lay it off?
Nah, seriously, just catch the ball and try to get it out of your hand and onto the backboard as quick as possible, because you go up against some of the athletes out there and stuff, and – unfortunately, I don't have the athleticism of some of the other dudes, but you can get on the backboard, they can't hit it off. So pretty sound logic behind that one.
Yeah, it helps, when Rudy Gobert, who's like a fucking foot and a half taller than everybody on the planet, is out there, got to get off that backboard quick, smart. So your career so far, I mean, you've had a fascinating journey, Nick, like Townsville, Illawarra, stints in New Zealand, now in Perth, NBL champion, dominating this year as well. In terms of winning an NBL title last season, like, was that like a dream come true? And like, when did you then have to go, fuck, what happens next?
Yeah, obviously the move to Perth kind of was just such a different trip, and really, like, you knew Perth's reputation and everything, but you didn't know how the whole transition would turn out. And to get here the first year and to be able to win that championship, something that, I mean, you work towards since getting into the NBL. It was just such a great feeling. And then you had to sit back and go, okay, what is next? And, I mean, I'd love to say that, oh, you've won one and feel good, but it's about trying to back it up again this year and put yourself in the best position, because the NBL is just getting better every year. And you look at the teams and, I mean, I've said it in other interviews and stuff, if you stay the same, you're not going to win the same amount of games you did last year just because the talent's going up so much every year. So just try to position ourselves the best we could for this year. And I mean, two in a row sounds pretty good to me. So it's just trying to do everything we can to get there again.
Yeah, that's back to back. I mean, look, I saw you guys. I saw, Bryce and Tirico just like absolutely shredding in Melbourne. It's like fun as hell to actually watch Wildcats. I mean, but that sort of brings up the question, Nick, convince me why I should actually be a Wildcats fan and not a Phoenix fan. I mean, Creaky's a recurring guest on NBA Australia. He's been on the show a couple of times. You've got a bit of catching up to do. I already have your jersey, however, because I was out there, you know, making good on my promise to buy a Nick Kay jersey if you, outperformed my expectations. So what do you reckon? Perth versus Phoenix, why should I do it? Go.
We can go off game one. We had a good game one. Got a nice little win there. Secondly, I mean, he spent time in Perth before. Beautiful city, lovely place, sunset. I mean, best in the world, really. Overlooking the ocean, great weather. And then basketball, I mean, teams have one superstar and whatnot, but to back up, with both Tirico and Bryce, I mean, pretty much, they're just great guys to have on your team. And, I mean, how do you stop both of them? That's the crazy thing, so... Even at training every week, you wonder who's going to put up that shot at the end of our train to win the game and stuff. So, I mean, there's just great players to be on the same team as.
I'm still trying to figure this out. Who knows? I reckon it's still up in the air. I mean, but in terms of NBL stuff as well, you've played the Hawks twice, I think it is. Is that right? Twice? You've sort of seen the LaMelo Ball stuff up close then. How do you sort of feel about like all the extra attention that dudes like him, like LaMelo and RJ Hampton and stuff are sort of bringing to the league? Obviously it's good. Do you reckon it's sort of just like this, what do you reckon the umbrella effect is going to be?
I mean, I think we're already seeing part of the umbrella effect. It's the sponsorships that come with it. It's the extra TV coverage, the internet coverage, the stuff in the papers. It's just the promotion of the game that will enable more or bigger and better players to continue to come to the NBL and to make it a more recognised league throughout the world. So not only do I think they're doing themselves justice by the way they're playing, but what it does to the league is also a huge positive as well.
I dig it. All right, so how's the rest of this season go for the Wildcats? Are you going to smoke it the rest of the way?
Hope so. I mean, we've got a tough little stretch coming up. I think our next, or including the weekend that just went, we've got 6 or 7 on the road now. So... big things just came through this period and hopefully coming out with a solid record from it. So if we can do that, then go into December and hopefully just keep kicking goals, really.
Finally, I keep getting told that I've got to go to Perth and go to a game. That seems fair, right? I should do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing about Wildcats fans and being involved with the Wildcats organisation is it's basically... a performance show, stuff to do since getting off the train in the city before a game. There's people around, there's Red Army everywhere, there's places to go get drinks before the game, you go into the game, the performances and stuff at halftime before the game. It's everything, and then the basketball is just the bonus that it goes with it. It's just a great environment for everyone, and you win a game there in the crowd and stuff is just awesome. So it's definitely an experience you got to embrace.
Dig it. I'll have to take take old mate and the squid over and check it out. Final one. I mean, any NBA dreams floating around? We can see you as a stretch four, surely, right? You know, Nick Kay in the Nick Collison role there in OKC. Have a chat to old mate Stephen Adams and co. What do you reckon?
I mean, it's everyone's dream at the end of the day is to play on the top level. So, I mean, if the opportunity presented itself, I'd more than happy to roll with him and go see how it panned out. But, I mean, it's just trying to get better. It's being efficient down there on offense and being able to get stops on defense and rebounding. So I think if you keep playing, keep getting better, then you never know what will happen. But really happy with where I'm at right now and hopefully can have a good season this year.
Awesome. Nick, absolutely unreal to have you on the 350th episode of NBA Australia. Thanks for coming on, man.
No, no problem, man. Cheers for the call and thanks for having me today.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Oh, how good was that? Love Nick Kay, my new best mate. He is awesome. What a legend. He was fucking funny as hell. He was awesome to have on the show. I really hope he comes back on you know, during the NBL season, check in here and there. And I'm pretty serious about this old, you know, Wildcats, Phoenix, who the fuck should I go for in the NBL kind of stuff. So it's good stuff. All right. Anyway, we usually do the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet Game Day Twitter check-in, but today is going to be the Deli Made Me So Fucking Happy I Nearly Cried Today check-in. And I don't know, man. We had a kid. That's fucking awesome. He's asleep right now. Hopefully I haven't woken him up. And to see Deli post a picture of him with his kid on his chest and just have the caption saying, "This is the best. Love heart emoji." Love heart emoji? There you go. "Welcome to the world, Anders Ralph Dellavedova." That is fucking awesome. The goat and the kid. Unreal. It's the prince. The prince who was promised. Unbelievable. Stoked for Deli. Stoked for Anna. Hope everything went well for them. Hope they're all doing great. Yeah, kids, man. It's pretty fucking nuts. So on your Deli. That's awesome. Way to go, Anna. She did all the actual fucking work. Come on. Let's do it. All right. Let's have a look at the game previews and do some picks for tomorrow's games, shall we? So today we did not go great. what do you reckon there, inadvertent Bane?
Yes, today you did not do very well, James.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
But it's all right. There's always another day. So let's do the game previews. Game previews.
Thank you. Thank you, inadvertent Bane. Yeah, look, today we went 3 of 9. Which is not ideal. I would like to blame me believing in Washington, me believing in Atlanta being better than Chicago for a fucking hot second, and the Knicks. I really thought the Knicks would just go, look, Detroit kind of stink, let's beat them. And the Knicks, what do? They Knicks. Anyway, so for the year, we're now sitting at 50 and 107, so just a bit under 50%. Bit brutal, but it's all good. It's all good. All right, so tomorrow's games, we have Boston at Charlotte. It's the old Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. Revenge game, I guess. Charlotte, a 7-point underdogs at home against Boston. And you got to remember, Charlotte fucking sucks. So I'll take Boston -7 there pretty handily as well. Charlotte have been at home for a couple of days, but it doesn't make them a better basketball team. So... And Boston be riding high off Gordo Hayward going absolutely fucking spare, dropping that 39 the other day. So, yeah, give me Boston -7. OKC go to San Antonio. San Antonio. And San Antonio are a hard team to get a sort of grip on. They lay an egg like they did against Atlanta. They led in the fourth quarter. OKC are up and down as well. 4.5-point favorites at home, the Spurs. I kind of like the Thunder getting 4.5 points, though. They do play teams very, very tough and very, very tight, and the Spurs really, really don't blow people out. So Thunder, yeah, +4.5. They might win that, but even if they don't, I feel like it'll be very, very close. Heat go to Phoenix to take on Aaron Bangers Baines' suddenly ascendant Suns. That's right, the suddenly ascendant Suns, 5-2. The Heat had their asses kicked. They were shit pumped by Denver the other day, and the Suns are 2-point favorites at home. Can you believe that? I certainly can't. I'm not going to believe it for... If they beat Miami, I'm going to believe it, but I don't think they're going to beat Miami. Give me Miami +2. I think Miami get their asses kicked by Spoelstra and come out and beat Phoenix. You got Bam Adebayo. You've got Jimmy Butts. You've got Goran with a bit of a revenge game against his old squadron there of Phoenix. So give me Miami +2. It feels bad to go against Bangers, but I can't really see Phoenix just really keeping it up. Finally, Blazers at Clippers. You expect Kawhi. Yeah. We'll be back for this one, skipping the first night of a back-to-back. Blazers coming off an embarrassing loss to the Warriors. PDX Pete. Gonna have to get him on the show and just berate him for that loss. But the Blazers are 5.5-point underdogs against the Clips. On a back-to-back, I'm going to take the Blazers. There you go, Pete. PDX Pete, I've got your back, at least in this one. I think Kawhi comes back. I feel like the Blazers will keep it close just with the firepower they've got. So there you go. Unbloody real. That's it for today. We are back tomorrow. Can you believe it? 350 fucking episodes. Jesus. Of me just yelling into the other like an asshole. But thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to Nick Kay for coming on. Thanks to the Perth Wildcats, actually, for making that happen as well. That was awesome. But also thank you to everybody. Aww, just for listening. It's fucking great. I love it. Thanks for everybody who's like supported the Kickstarter, bought a t-shirt. If you haven't bought a t-shirt, send me an email, jimmy@nbaaustralia.com, and we'll sort you out. But either way, we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, for episode 351. We've got another special guest. We're going to have a guest host, Knicks fan Jake, where I'm just going to yell at him about how bad the Knicks are, I think, for 50 minutes or so. But either way, that's going to be fun. It's his debut on NBA Australia. It's going to be fun as hell. So, all right, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all the socials over the time. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Go click on the giant Amazon button at NBAAustralia.com if you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end if you do that. Give us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone. That really helps out. And it's our 350th episode, man. How many other fucking podcasts do you know go 350 episodes? Most of them hit like 37 episodes and then they get bored and they're like, oh, fuck it, I don't want to do it this week. But fucking daily, 350 episodes. Go blow it out your ass. Yeah, rate and review us. Come on, please. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. All 350 episodes have been From Oslo. Fucking love them. Their new band, House Hats, are unreal and even better. The debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. You hear I've Been Broken behind Yeah Nah every day. It's awesome. Big thanks to Fascinator, though. Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right. And we're going to close out the 350th episode of NBA Australia with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. Because why the fuck not? All right. Thank you for all your support. 350 episodes. Absolutely fucking crazy. We will still catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, I'm going to crack another fucking tin. Later, hoes. Ah! Oh, kia ora, Bruce. Stephen Adams here, eh? It's time for my weekly diary, eh? So, here goes. Oh, dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, Bruce. But you knew that anyway, eh? Because you're my diary, Bruce. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, eh? Like how me and Jason Momoa are the same person. But, shh, don't tell anyone, Bruce. So, anyways, hurt my knee last week, eh? But it's all good, Bruce. The only way I'd be out longer than two games is if my cousin Rongo, Bruce, ran into my knee again with his Tarago as he fled the scene of another smishing grip, bro. So, luckily that hasn't happened for a while, eh? But, anyway, bro, all's well here in OKC. Little Cross is a bit of a duck, but after I told him to stop making my friend Terrence cry, he's not said much, eh? He just sort of sat there muttering to himself like crazy Rhonda down the shops back home in Wellington, bro. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm back now, and I cooked my bounce back hungry for everybody, bro. And we haven't lost since. So that's good, eh? My mum stopped losing. Stephen Pavluva was a real hit with the fellas too. They were all like, oh, Stephen Brew, this Pavluva your mum made is delicious, eh, Brew? I was like, oh, sweet as Brews. I'll let my mum know, eh? And I did. I was like, dear mum, thanks for the Pavluva. The fellas loved it. And she was like, oh, sweet as, no problem, Stephen. So, awesome. So anyway, nothing really else to report here, Brew. Like, apart from the fact that everyone is finally realizing that I can rebound without little Russ around to steal them all, like Rongo with a bag of chips in a petrol station, eh? So, yeah, it's going okay, you know. Okay, until next week then. Cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams, Brew. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. What was that? Oh, Lord. Oh, kia ora, Bruce. Really? Really? That's what I'm going to do? Fucking hell.